how it's going to work this after morning tea now is two more presentations to continue the conversation we've been having, which I think is very productive, before morning tea, and then a panel discussion which involves you and where we will curate your SMS texts, your questions and comments, and with the speakers that you've heard today. And the first speaker after morning tea is Kim Birch, who's Chief Executive of South Australia's inaugural compulsory CTP regulator, which actually came into effect just over about 14, 15 months ago with the establishment of private insurer underwriting of the South Australia CTP scheme. Kim has a 20-year history of working in personal injury and disability insurance and was with the NDIA, contributing to the testing and design of the NDIS. And her regulatory experience stems from her years with the Motor Accident Insurance Commission, the Queensland CTP scheme regulator. Please welcome Kim Birch.
Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see so many familiar faces since our last ACTRIS conference 2 years ago in Adelaide. My plug this morning is for the Are You OK campaign. I think that this is extremely valuable, and I think I've experienced burnout in the workforce. And if it wasn't for my colleagues pointing this card, not this card, but saying those words, Are You OK, I probably would have had a very different trajectory. So that's a very important message for you all. In this world that we live in. So I'm going to talk about what's happened in South Australia. I think the first thing to talk about is what the change was and what happened. So prior to 30th of June 16, the scheme was underwritten by the monopoly government insurer, the Motor Accident Commission, with its claims outsourced to its claims agent, which is Allianz, and continues that way. The price was approved by government through those mechanisms, but back in 2014, the government decided to move to private sector underwriting for a range of reasons, which I wasn't there for, but I can imagine. So the challenge, of course, is that, as David said, it's 1989 since a monopoly government underwritten scheme has changed to private sector underwriting. And so with that, the government introduced a three-year transition period, which we're smack bang in the middle of now. I commenced in the role on 1 July 16, the day the scheme was live. The act that established my regulatory functions and my office only came into effect, was passed by government in May 2016. So the blooding in the NDIA certainly helped me to understand building something as you're going, I would say. So now we have four insurers. So we have four approved insurers in the system with market share ranging from 15 to 35%. We have an allocated market share, so everyone has a guarantee that that's their market through the 3 years of the transition. We auto-allocate all policies. Kudos to the team that were there before I arrived and in the project that established the model to ensure all those policies were evenly distributed across the four approved insurers by market share, and it just hasn't missed a beat. It's been a fabulous model. The other part is it's contract arrangements with the four approved insurers for the 3 years, and with that, they're guaranteed a price increase of 3% year on year. So we have one more of those next year, and then we move to the competition model. The other important part is that there's no insurer can do any promotional activity around CTP in South Australia. So it's all quiet, nothing to see here during the transition years, which was a requirement through these models. I think the main important part of that is so you don't have a community that's madly wanting to change insurer during this transition period. So that's, and that it retains the rigour of the auto allocation. From commencement to now, I think I've had 7 requests to change insurer coming through. There is a process if you want to, but it's certainly not something communities getting excited about. 1 July, our model comes in from 1 July and we've started building it. We're retaining auto allocation for new policies. So we're learning from other jurisdictions and experiences, and the motor dealer will have no role in allocating a new policy to one of the four approved insurers. So they'll get auto allocation of new vehicles by market share. Insurers will set their own rates within a band that's set by the regulator. What we're looking at is getting out of the way of the insurers and the additional steps required. We're looking at setting the band annually, and insurers can change their CTP premiums as often as they like through a portal direct into the transport system. So they're accountable for their updates. Of course, they can't go above or below whatever the rate, this floor and ceiling are. And then, of course, insurers, and the other part of that is we've adopted the ACT winning parts of their model, and that there was active selection of insurer at each and every renewal notice. So you can't, there's no passive approach to CTP. You must actively select your insurer. But what we're building in is that the consumer will see the rates of insurance. They'll see a customer satisfaction score that's actually derived from us talking to claimants of the CTP insurer. So we're building a model that will have, we'll start testing it at the end of this month, and we're certainly working it up with the approved insurers as well. But it keeps that focus of insurers not just on price, but what they're doing at the other end. They're underwriting on behalf of the government on a compulsory product, which you've all heard about, and this requires them to, their scores of their performance will be coming up on that regrail renewal notice, because we've learnt from our market research and talking to motorists that's important for them to know those things. And the third is, of course, add-ons. Our challenges, of course, as a start-up, when you walk in the door at 1 July and the scheme's live and you've come from another jurisdiction and another business, being out of CTP for a couple of years, there's certainly a lot to get established. We called it chair gate when we started. We didn't even have chairs that we could sit on. So, you know, we're talking back to basics of establishing from the ground up a new office and getting all those structures in place, establishing your org structure, the whole lot. I won't even go to those details, you could imagine. The change is the other challenge for government and agencies, motor vehicle owners, insurers and lawyers. It took me a while to work out that a lot of people didn't understand we weren't the underwriting insurer like MAC, that we were a regulator and that the insurers were the underwriter. So there was a lot of work done retelling the story and getting them on board to understand what was going on. The other challenge is pace of innovation and system change. It's great to come in with a green field and go, I know what we're going to do. I was really clear. I want to do this, this, this and this. And then you realise that, others, you can't bring people along that quickly. And you have to demonstrate and persuade and all of those important things to understand why change is required. So I learn a lot about that. We know that the community is increasing its self-service. We've heard about that today. It's about customer-centric. And we know that in 2011, 53% of the community of South Australia renewed their rego online and did through that those self-service channels, and that's up to 76% now. But we still know that there's a lot of people accessing customer service centres, 11%, and the Australia Post is 12%. So we have this multi-channel that we need to accommodate for in the new model. And that's the piece around Australia Post. You know, there's 10,000 transactions per week on average going through Australia Post. You know, so how do we design for that to ensure that everybody gets the opportunity to select and be active in the process? So there's a lot of work we're doing to untease, understand and work with Australia Post, with service centres, etc., to look at what we can do to get real-time data exchange just to, because of the error rates that come out of it if it's a paper system. And continuing to sell a vision of the benefits to motor vehicle owners and just the support for injured people to recover and restore their usual life, and I'll go into that a bit further. And there's resistance to change, as there is. I don't have to explain to this room why change occurs. It changes its resistance at every level. You know, it's much safer to stay with what you know. You've got to work with election cycles. You've got to work with, you know, other groups that are really trying to roll back tort law reform, not support the opportunity for people to recover. It's those same old things that I've said earlier to someone outside that I faced in 1996 here in Queensland. I'm experiencing it again and starting with some of those groups exactly like it was in 1996. So some of the other challenges is that focus on claimants and recovery. It's all very well, we hear about it, you know, outcomes focused and all the rest of it. And for all of those 20 years, I've been hearing about different metrics and what we can use, what works, what doesn't, and I'm still searching. I sent two of my team to the East Coast to knock on doors to find out, to cut through, you know, let's look at what's already been done, what can we learn for, what can we put in now. So if anyone's got the bright ideas, everyone talks about it, I want to know what they are. Very keen to understand normative data of South Australia. We've talked about the amount of people that already have a mental health condition or likely to be affected by some sort of anxiety. I've been there, but I'm fine. But, you know, so we know it's out there. It's population-based data. So how are claimants faring against the population of South Australia? So we're looking at SF12, we're looking at what we can do, how can we get those scores through, and what are the right ones. What's exciting for us is we do get to build an early intervention and recovery framework. What also is helpful to us, we only have 80% of our claimants aren't legally represented. So it's a melting pot of opportunity for private sector underwriting to work directly with claimants. You know, 20% are legally represented, they'd like to make it more. But we keep pushing through on that. The other challenge is unravelling previous underwriting decisions and finding palatable solutions. I'll put a tractor up there because there's nothing wrong with the way things were under government underwritten, with MAC owning all of the fleet. You can make decisions on whether you'll issue one unregistered vehicle permit to cover 100 tractors at a show. You can't when there's 4 approved insurers. So these things are really tricky to keep it palatable for all but find solutions. Understanding the history of previous policy decisions, before you go that's stupid, which I have done, I walked in and went, why are we doing that? You've got to understand the background, what's going on and why did it occur? And I've picked out the early notification forms there. That in there's an early notification process, there's 1,000 invoices come to us to the regulator pays for, which are the first GP medical appointment. But what does that mean? How does that connect through? And the other real big important piece is baseline scheme data, apples and oranges. When we look at the MAC data versus the insurer's data, and how do we make sure going forward that we do these data sets stack up? Lessons learned, definitely the value of the transition period. It's enabled us to do a really strong project planning methodology to scope out over the 3 years what we'll do and what we'll do when and how. So we're in the middle of procurement now for our independent actuary because we didn't need one in year one. So it's those sorts of learnings to really set yourself out. There's a whole lot of things that I'd love to change from a claims side of the way the scheme operates, but we also have to pick our timing and wrap those legislative amendments up when the windows arise. Don't reinvent the wheel. We've talked about that. We've picked up pieces out of other scheme designs, and thank you very much. And that's the opportunity that we do work across jurisdictions and share information and experience to build a better system. We have a very strong compliance framework. We have 185 obligations across approved insurers. We have 8 obligation types and 10 compliance activities. So we've really spent a lot of time on this and we're continuing to work on it, that we have one central repository of all of our oversight of insurers. Every input comes into one repository so that we can look at the themes and trends and apply methodology on penalties and fines. Bring enablers with you. Bring your partners with you. Find out who they are and work with them. Learning that every day, being new to the state, not knowing the politicians in the room and who does what. I've already fallen over once, but I've learnt my mistake and I know what to do better next time. And finally, know your community and co-design. We'd heard this word. I've learned it from the NDIA. I learned a lot working for the NDIA about ways forward. So we do have this customer-centric approach and we're also surveying claimants. And the rest is pretty much straightforward in the sense that coming forward to 2001 July 19, we have a very strong communication plan on how we will roll that up. We're partnering with the insurers, so it'll be the same language, use the same visuals, use the same video, so the message is consistent for the community that hasn't had a change like this since 1989. And hold a vision. Build design for the community first, then you segment out, you know. So we know that 80% aren't represented, so let's build for that. And then we'll sort out the rest around the edges. build a common model and then build a compelling case of why we should deviate for other vehicle segments. And finally, my plug for the South Australia, come on down. It's the best place ever. Who'd have thought? I love it. This is taken on the Nullarbor Plain and it's just a simple drive from Adelaide. So come on down. Thank you.